Ulysses S. Grant became known as Unconditional Surrender Grant. Not just because of his initials, but because as a military general, when he went into battle, when the enemy was defeated, the only surrender that he would accept was an unconditional surrender. If the enemy came and said, "We'll surrender on these terms," to him, no can do. Unconditional surrender. Consequently, many people did not think highly of him. Unmerciful, unkind, unloving, unjust. May I say to you that an unconditional surrender is the only surrender acceptable in the sight of God. Now, think about this for just a moment. An unconditional surrender assumes, first of all, that you've been in a warfare. You have an adversary, an enemy. And if that warfare is a just war, then the enemy or the adversary that you are opposing is living unrighteously, ungodly. That's why you're opposing him. For an enemy to surrender with conditions, they are saying there are certain elements of our lifestyle, of our philosophy of living, that are ungodly that we want to continue. And by saying, okay, you are propagating ungodliness. Unless there is an unconditional surrender, I think the military leader is outside the will of God. And I think Ulysses S. Grant was doing rightly, despite his critics. For a long time, the nation of Israel was at war. Do you know who their adversary was? God. Not a battle you want to get into. Israel had basically said, "God, we don't care what you say. We want to do our own thing." And God kind of in response said, "Okay, let's put them up. Let's see who's going to win this battle." And Israel defied the holiness of God. Israel said, "We want to do our own thing. We will worship God, whoever He may be, in our own way. And if there are other gods out there that we like more, we'll worship them." And God said, "Oh, no, you won't." And they said, "Oh, yes, we will." And God said, "Oh, no, you won't." And they went to battle. Guess who won? Not much of a guess, is it? And in the end of the battle, God using the Babylonians to accomplish His purposes in the lives of the Israelites, His people, God said, "I want an unconditional surrender." May I say to you that when anyone comes face to face with God, the smartest thing they can do is unconditionally surrender. Whether you be a saint who is erring in life or a sinner who is lost in sin, the smartest thing anyone can do is surrender unconditionally. But we don't like to do that, do we? In order to unconditionally surrender, a person must be convinced of at least three different things. And I want to outline them tonight in Lamentations chapter 3, beginning at verse 37. First thing, in order to unconditionally surrender, you must be convinced that your adversary is unbeatable. As long as you have the idea that if you continue to fight, maybe you can win here and win there and eventually get away, escape, effect a draw, a stalemate, or even win, there's no reason to unconditionally surrender. You will only do that when you believe your adversary is unbeatable. Verse 37, "Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not?" Who is there out there who can say, "Well, this is what I'm going to do. I don't care what God says. I'm doing it. I had to laugh this week. I often get a chuckle at politicians. I probably should cry more than chuckle, but I had to chuckle this week. What was the big news of the week? Senator Spector stands up after years of being a faithful Republican, says, "I've become disillusioned with the Republican Party and no longer find myself in harmony with it." And I said to myself, where has the Republican Party changed? Where has he changed? In fact, one of the things I had to chuckle at, and this happens, and I'm not picking on Democrats by saying this, because it's equally true of Republicans. There are people that will never vote for a candidate, no matter who he is, what he stands for, if they're not in their party. And certainly in previous elections, there have been people who are Democrats that would have never voted for Spector because he was a Republican. Wonder what they're going to do this year when he comes up for re-election, now that he's a Democrat. He hasn't changed one iota in his positions. But will they vote for him now? That ought to be an interesting question. But the question is, was he telling the truth when he said he's found himself at odds with the Republican Party? Is that why he really changed? The fact of the matter is, he is facing a very strong contender in the Republican primary. And chances are great that he won't win the Republican primary. So in order to keep himself in office, he switches party because the Democrats don't want to go against a person who is already in office. They're not going to put up people that are going to challenge him for that seat when he's supporting them. He's got a win that he might not otherwise have. So he is basically saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. What if God says, and I have no way of knowing whether God has ordained it or not, but if God has ordained that Senator Spector come to the end of his term of office with this term, I don't care what party he's running under. He ain't going to win. And all the Republicans said, well, now we know who all the Republicans are. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it? Who's more powerful than God? Who can beat God? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Now, the word evil here certainly can mean moral evil, but in this circumstances, God is not the author of moral evil. Cannot God do that which is evil in man's sight, which is calamitous, which is disastrous, as well as bring blessing? And can man said when adversity comes, no, God, you can't do it and stop it? Can't happen. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Who can say to God, God, you know what? Your punishment, your correction, your justice isn't right. We don't deserve this. And cause God to say, oh, I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. I don't know what I was thinking. Ain't going to happen. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Let us lift up our heart with our hands. Lord, here's everything. Unconditional surrender. I can't beat you at this. Secondly, in order to unconditionally surrender, you must be convinced that your adversary is unchangeable. Well, maybe if I keep after him, I won't beat him, but I'll wear him down a little bit, that he won't be so harsh on me, that he won't be so tough. Maybe he'll have a change of mind and he'll just say, okay, that's enough, I'll just back off. Verse 43. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain and thou hast not pitied. It's like you threw a blanket over us, that you couldn't see us on the inside, and you're standing outside with a stick beating us. No pity. You were giving it to it. Now, understand, God is a God of pity. God is a merciful God. But God is giving out a just correction to the nation. And He's given it to them good. Verse 44, thou hast covered thyself with a cloud. Not only have you covered us that you don't see how hurtful this is to us, but you covered yourself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through. We're out here and we're yelling up to you, stop it! Not yet. Not listening. How many of you, I'm showing my age, ever saw that classical piece of theatrics, Gomer Pyle, USMC? Sergeant Carter had a number of quotable sayings, but one was, I can hear you. That's what God is saying. They're yelling, stop it, stop it. And He's not paying attention because His justice had not yet been satisfied. Their punishment was not yet complete. They had not yet unconditionally surrendered. Verse 45, thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. Things are bad, and God, you're not going to change, are you? Well, if there's a chance that you'll change, we'll hang in there and we'll persist for a while, but you're not going to change, so maybe we better think of unconditionally surrendering. Thirdly, to unconditionally surrender, you must be convinced that your destruction is undeniable. Not only is the enemy, the adversary, unbeatable and unchangeable, but if we keep going the direction that we're going, our destruction is undeniable. We're heading for disaster. You've made us the offscouring and refuge in the midst of the people. The people look at us and they say, those Israelites are the scum of the earth. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. They're ready to devour us. Fear and a snare has come upon us, desolation and destruction. My eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eye trickleth down and ceases not without any intermission. I'm standing here and I'm seeing what's going on with this people, and it's causing me to cry, and there's no relief. Until the Lord looked down and behold from heaven. There's nothing I can do to stop what's going on. The enemy has come in. He's ruining us. And it won't stop until God looks down from heaven and says, that's it. And I'm not too sure that's going to happen. My eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies chase me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over my head. Then said I, I'm cut off. By the way, being cut off here is what was used in Daniel chapter 9 when it speaks of the Messiah after the end of the 69th week. Messiah shall be cut off. Which speaks of His crucifixion. What Jeremiah is saying here, the enemy's coming in, he has ravaged the city, and now they're coming after me. And I've been chased, there's no getting away, I can't escape. And it's like I've gone into a river and the waters now are flowing over my head. I'm going down for the third time. It's curtains. Life is over. When a person finds themselves in that position, then they're ready to say, you know what, I don't have anything to bargain with. I can unconditionally surrender. Lord, here's my heart. Take it. by the way, that's what he wants, isn't it? Lord, you can have my heart on Sunday mornings from 9 to 11:30, 12 if the preacher goes long. Lord, you can have my heart Tuesdays, maybe Wednesday night occasionally, but Friday's my bingo night. Can't have it then, or whatever the case may be. Lord, you can't have my... Lord, I'm willing to do this, but I'm not willing to do that. I can't surrender to you unconditionally. I have certain conditions that I'll serve you. Or, put it in a positive say, Lord, if you will do this for me, then you can have my heart. Lord, get me out of this jam and I'll serve you. I wonder if God's up there going, that's an interesting proposition. I have to think about that one. My, what a wonderful, noble gesture. I think the sovereign of all the universe says, whether I get you out of this jam or not, you need to serve me. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. If we unconditionally give the Lord our hearts, isn't that going to be miserable? Let me answer in a word. No. The wisest thing anybody can ever do is unconditionally surrender. For in the arms of God is the greatest mercy to be found. In the service of God is the greatest joy to be found, is the greatest fulfillment to be found. In the worship of God is the greatest knowledge to be found, the greatest meaning to life, the greatest life itself to be found. But it all comes with an unconditional surrender. Lord, here's my heart. Take it. What conditions have you put upon God? Lord, I'll serve you if. I'll worship you if. I'll do this if. Whatever those conditions are is where you're missing out on the greatness of God. Let's pray. Father, how many times do we fight with you and think that we can win? I look back over my own life, even since the days that I first put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, oh, here's an area where I can fight with God and win. And I look back and I never won. And here's an area I can serve if God will do this or if God won't do that. If God will accommodate Himself to me. And I lost. Lord, help us tonight to be people who unconditionally surrender. Who hold out our hearts, lift them up to you, and say, here, Lord, take it. I'm yours. Use me as you will. Do with me as you want. For I am convinced in doing that we will find the greatest joy of living. In fact, life itself. Lord, may for the rest of our lives we be found surrendered completely to you, unconditionally to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good week.